Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How's it going in Atlanta or Georgia?
It's going just fine out here in the beautiful green suburbs of Alpharetta.
All right. What's the weather and barometer reading?
It's 93 degrees outside.
Awesome. It's not quite that hot here in California, but it's nice. It's probably 70.
Oh, God.
I'm sunny, so 70.
Yeah, I would kill for 70 and sunny.
Oh, Jamie, you wouldn't kill for anything.
Okay, that's true. So how you been doing, Mike?
Okay. Got like a long week. I'm tired, but...
Oh, I know. I'm exhausted. I worked so long and so late this week, but I love, love, love my new job.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I've never had people like be so nice to me and want me to stay there so badly.
Jamie has a new job, listeners.
That is correct.
Do you want the world to know that, Jamie?
I don't mind.
Well, you did before.
Oh, huh? Oh, no, I couldn't talk about where I worked. I still can't talk about where I worked.
Jamie works for the FBI. Oh, no, it's a, I know, it's a travel agency.
Yep, that's it.
Well, I'm glad you like it, Jamie. You're into it, what, a week now? A couple weeks?
Yeah.
Awesome. Better commute. It's a worse commute, but a better job, right? If I remember right.
Mike, I kid you not. This, like, before I moved back to Alpharetta, I was across the street from that job.
Nobody wants to be that close to work.
Okay, so when I moved to Alpharetta and I was still working at the other place before I took this new job, I was 3 minutes down the street from my work, and it was delightful.
All right, well, I'm glad you like it, Jamie. And you can figure out the commute later. Move a little bit closer to it or whatever, or negotiate some online time or something.
Mm-mm. No, I can't do that with my job because, you know, I have to be in front of people's faces to talk to them. But no, I don't mind the commute. I really enjoy it, actually.
Okay. Well, hey, we're enough of this personal crap, Jamie. We're here for a reason.
All right.
The Americans on West Coast Project.
That's
wrapping up another season.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, what did you think about this episode?
I didn't like it.
Okay, tell me why.
I will when we do our podcast, if we can ever freaking get into it.
All right.
413 persona non grata, Jamie. Do you know what persona non grata means?
I do. I do know what it means. Do you want to tell me or should I tell you?
You could tell us, but I just want to say that when I looked it up just to get the official Wikipedia stolen definition, and I found out something new about it when I looked it up.
I did too.
And I don't know if they just watched The Americans and put that in there, but it was like directly related to The Americans.
Yes. Actually, no, that wouldn't be something that is directly related to The Americans. I think that The Americans episode is directly related to the meaning of persona non grata. But I always have thought it just means like a person who's unwelcome. But that has a really direct diplomatic meaning.
Okay, well, persona non grata means person not appreciated, which I think most people knew. Like, oh, I feel like I'm persona non grata around here. Freaking nobody appreciates me. But as you just mentioned, and we had our blank silence there, it also refers to a foreign person entering or remaining in a particular country that is prohibited by that country's government.
Mm-hmm.
That's new to me. I didn't know that about person. I never connected that to persona non grata.
Neither did I. I was really delighted when I read it because I didn't know. And it put meaning on the episode.
I think somebody must have slipped that into Wikipedia because of this series. Because it's the very first thing under persona non grata. Right, that has to be a secondary or tertiary interpretation of that statement, of that definition.
All right, so if you go to dictionary.com, it says a person who is not welcome. He has become persona non grata. Diplomatic, and the second definition is diplomatic representative unacceptable to an accrediting government.
All right. Well, maybe that really is it. I just always thought it was like, oh, you don't appreciate me. I'm persona non grata.
I thought it meant like unwelcome, like a person who's not like, you know, not allowed or, you know, like, yeah, like, you know, get the hell out. We don't want you here.
Yeah. Like not welcome. That's like, but usually it's like, it's meta, right? You self-reference. Like, what am I? Persona non grata all the time around here? Why am I always persona non grata? Nobody appreciates me. Nobody welcomes me.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's awesome. I mean, they taught everybody a new thing. Oh, actually, it's kind of like the prodigal son. You know how people say the prodigal son? And everybody thinks that prodigal means like somebody who goes away and then comes back. Well, it doesn't. It means somebody who like spends money fast.
What? Huh? I thought it means like almost like heroic, like the prodigal son returns to save the village.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. You want me to read you the definition?
Not really. But go ahead.
It means wastefully or recklessly extravagant. Because that the Bible story that it's based on is about a son who his dad's going to give him his money, and then the son just takes the money and runs off and spends all of it. And then when this money is all spent, he wants to come back home. And so his dad like slaughters a something and I think a lamb, and then has this big, you know, event for him to welcome him back. And he's called the prodigal son. So people think it's because he's returning, but it's because he was a spendthrift. Or just what does that mean? I think is that the one where you're stingy or where you spend too much?
Stingy, cheapskate.
Okay, so
thrifty with spending.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's not it. It's the other one where he spends a lot of money.
All right, Jamie, English class is over.
All right.
All right, we lost some people in this episode. In this year, not this episode. We lost some people though. Nina.
Yeah.
Martha.
Yep.
Gad.
Yep.
William.
Yep.
Lisa. And the turpentine guy.
Oh, yeah.
Turpentine jar guy. We don't know if he's dead, but he's gone probably.
He's gone.
They're all wrapped up. They're out. Who else am I forgetting?
It's a whole lot of people. Well, now Arcady.
Well, okay. So we lost some people. Then I have we moved some people.
Ah.
So Oleg.
Well, okay, but we didn't lose Martha. We moved Martha.
Yeah, we lost her. Good riddance.
She's not dead.
She's dead to me. All right, we moved some people. Oleg Burev.
Yep.
Arcady.
Yep.
And then maybe Martha. You could throw Martha in the moved people.
Yeah.
And maybe Jamie, maybe even Philip and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Are you shipping them back to Russia?
Who, me? Nah.
Yeah, they couldn't move. There'd be no frickin' series.
Okay, so that would be a trip if they went to Russia, because you know how they showed that scene over there. And, I was thinking about it when I was watching the episode. I was like, man, if they did like on location in Russia, they wouldn't. I mean, they would just like make wherever they shoot look like it, which is, I think it's in D.C. actually where they shoot it. But then I was thinking, you know how TV shows used to do a very special episode and then they're all on location, like when the Brady Bunch went to Hawaii.
Yeah. They're not going to move them. They need to be near Stan, and they need to be they need to be surrounded by danger.
Yeah.
And they need to stir up shit like they're doing with stirring up the young he's of the world and the whoever's, you know, the who's the girl, Kimmy's of the world.
Yeah.
And the final thing of that little theme there, Jamie, is we may have gained someone in this season.
I know.
Misha. Misha, yes. May be coming on set.
So I got to ask you, I'm willing to put money on it. How much do you think they weighed the importance of him looking like Henry? Because they really kind of resemble each other.
I think he looks like a young Philip is the point.
Well, yes, it is. And I agree. But at the end, like when they showed Henry's face, like close up in this episode, I was like, wow, he could be brothers. Like they could be brothers because they look enough alike.
Well, they are brothers.
I know. But I'm saying like it's the actors.
Yeah, they probably did want him to look like all a theme between Philip and Henry and Misha.
Right.
All right, Jamie, we're going to help this episode. If we don't, I may have hemorrhagic fever and liquefy my organs.
All right.
This was slow. It was kind of a floppy, flippy, floppy ending.
All right. So I'm going to tell you, I liked it. I liked it, but it was not a season ender. And so what I think is that last year's finale was so just like heart-stopping and upsetting and everything else. I think that they wanted to kind of have it be calm. I think.
Have it become what?
Be calm.
Oh, be calm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not on a freaking finale. You got to have some panache, right?
Yeah. Well, okay, so yeah. I mean, you know, I think part of it was like crazy. I mean, like the thing that happened with William. And, you know, some of it was really, really interesting and different. I wasn't expecting a lot of the stuff that happened. I loved Stan in this episode. Just adored Stan in this episode. But yeah, I mean, it was just kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah, you love Stan in every episode he's in.
Kind of.
All right, Jamie, so let's start. The extended street scenes now of people surveilling William. William Crandall. Never really thought of him as his last name, but William Crandall.
That is so American. And what I love about that name is that it's very, like, period, you know? It's very much, like, around that time. Like, I would have expected to see the name William Crandall in the 1950s, which would have been the right time for that name to be, like, an adult.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, and so it was just fascinating to me because I think that these, you know, these writers probably care enough about that detail that they would pick a name that sounds like it came from the 1950s.
Anyway, William packs up his little Lhasa vial and his cigarette tin, and he goes immediately out. Well, I guess we see what he does, but the cars, there's a bunch of cars of people tooling around D.C. Hans, yeah. I saw Hans in a car. Mm-hmm. I saw Philip in his Freddie Mercury outfit. I saw Stan and Adderholt in another car. Mm-hmm. William ends up in a car. Mm-hmm. And then some black dude, maybe he was just a rando guy and driving around, but they showed him for some reason.
Juice jar guy.
No, just another dude driving around. But this was a long sequence, too long, I thought. Why do they need to show him driving around for 2.5 minutes?
Because it's suspenseful.
Okay.
Okay, so like if you didn't see the Nextons, then you'd be like, what's gonna happen?
I know, I get it, but after you see they turn one corner, ooh, what's gonna happen? They didn't have to turn 5 corners. And then they went right up to the credits. Usually they have some sort of an interesting little jump cut to something that's interesting, and then ooh, credits, ooh, I gotta wait to the credits to find out what's happening. You know, I didn't feel that way.
Yeah, I get that.
I come back from the credits. Paige is reading in her room and Elizabeth joins her. Mm-hmm. And Paige wants karate lessons or something from Elizabeth.
Okay, so she lays in the bed and Paige says, if we're in danger, shouldn't I know how to defend myself? And I was just thinking, oh, my God, because I got flashes in my head of Molly, you in danger, girl, from Ghost. And then I am the danger from
Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Well, you never, ever would equate Paige to Walter White saying I am the danger.
No, it was just funny, you know, because I was thinking like her mom is the danger. And I was thinking like, you know, like Paige is in danger.
Paige Jennings, you are no Elizabeth.
No,
you never will be.
No.
All right. Back to the exciting car scene, Jamie. More pursuit. William gets out and onto the streets and walks around. The stressful suspense is really building up. But the boys are stressed, Stan and Adderholt. They're stressed about their tracking techniques and think that they may be too close. like the woman walking behind her is too close.
Right, right. And then I thought it was really, really interesting and maybe a little realistic that when the guy was like, yeah, any further away and we'll lose him. And then one of them says, I think maybe Stan says, maybe we're just nervous.
We're too nervous, yeah. So that was good. That was a good counterpoint. Like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe we're almost at the point we're going to catch this guy. We're just too nervous, too thinking about it too much.
Yeah.
All right. William senses it and runs away again. Now, Jamie, William runs like Jamie Lannister runs. He runs like a dork. He couldn't outrun a FBI agent in a wheelchair.
Do you remember, like, years ago, a bunch of years ago, there was this meme of Jean-Claude Van Damme running because he really runs, like, terribly, kind of like William.
Some people should never run.
Not on
badass-looking people normally standing still. They are threatening and dangerous. Jamie Lannister is kind of like that, and William, and the guy you said, but not running, man. They just lose it.
All right, so who's the best runner? On TV, like in movies and all that, you know who it is, right?
I don't know. Maybe, well, who are you going to say?
Tom Cruise.
Why? What does he run in?
You've never seen, oh my God, he runs in every movie because when he runs, he looks like a total badass. Have you never, like, you don't know that?
I've never noticed it.
Watch him in any movie. First of all, you'll see him running in all of them. And then second of all, he looks amazing when he runs.
Okay. I've never noticed it. I'll check it out for sure.
All right.
I'll do it tonight.
Cool.
All right. Philip waits at some distant location. And good God, good thing Stan cut that pursuit off and decided to capture William, or they would have walked right up to Philip.
I know.
He would have walked them right into Philip at the park bench. And then here's Philip sitting there. Hey, Stan. Hey, Philip. What's up? Oh, I'm just sitting here waiting for William.
Right. Philip, why are you wearing Freddie Mercury disguise?
Yeah, that would have not have been good.
But, you know, I was thinking maybe this is the time. Maybe this is the time.
No.
But it wasn't.
It might have been if you didn't know they got renewed for two more seasons.
Right.
But we did know that, too. So William poisons himself, jabs that vial into his hand. Which we'll get to it later when we talk a little bit more about him in the hospital room and stuff. But I think this was super heroic of William.
Okay, yeah. I thought that too. The first thing I thought was like, okay, dude really gave up. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't think I would do that. But I think that, you know, he was facing being captured and he had given up anyway. Like he didn't have anything to look forward to. And it was because, you know, if he had gotten away, then, you know, maybe Russia would have gotten the vial.
Let's talk about it now. He severs multiple lines of pursuit for the American government that the Jennings can be satisfied are resolved. If he's alive, he could be turned and return them in. But once they find out he's dead, they're like off the hook for a bunch of stuff. He won't be bribed. He won't be tortured. He won't be. There will be no more information dragged out of him, which they would have had to have had worried about if he was alive.
Yeah.
And you're right. He had a pretty sad, empty life, and he kind of went out heroically and didn't rot away in jail somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So I don't know if it was so much heroic as it was appropriate. It was appropriate, you know. He did what he had to do to save people, you know. Although I was really scared because I thought that, you know, maybe it was transmissible by air.
And yeah. They say the most dangerous toxins are the hardest to transmit. That's like the flu you can get anyway. Somebody sneezes and it's aerosolized and you can get the flu from across the room. But super, super poisonous stuff, you almost need like direct contact with the blood or the body or something.
Yeah, that's true for a lot of those diseases. Yeah, you're right.
People also made the analogy of like the thematic reasons behind how he kills himself, that he essentially hollowed himself out with that toxin, and he was kind of hollowed out anyway. No family. All he did was like work for the Russian government. He was a hollow dude.
You know, he said that. He said, well, we can talk about it later. I don't want to bring it up. I got in trouble with you last time.
And also that the Russian, you know, the Soviet Union was kind of hollowed out from the inside. It kind of crashed and imploded on itself.
Yeah.
Anyway, pretty interesting thematic stuff. So Philip goes home, tells Elizabeth there was no meeting. William didn't show up. He doesn't know what's happened at this point. And they're confused about him. They wonder. And Elizabeth reports to Philip, well, Stan didn't come home tonight either. And I guess Stan's been out for these last two or three nights.
Yeah.
On this William project. Mm-hmm. Philip just says, we'll try again tomorrow. All right, Jamie. So now we see Misha in the Russian, I guess it's not really a jail. It's more of a mental hospital.
Wait, before we go over there, like that conversation that they were having in the bedroom that Philip and Elizabeth were having, where she tells Philip that she told Paige a little bit about Smolensk, and then she actually wondered. Remember, she kind of said that to Paige, but then you and I were talking about it last podcast, and I was telling you I was glad to hear what you were reading about it. What you contributed to the conversation about it made me feel happy for Elizabeth. And then she said, you know, like she was wondering what it looks like now. And she said something like, maybe it's like better, like much better. And then Philip was like, yeah, probably not.
Well, I'm sure it was getting better. The description I read you about it being a textile center and some new whatever it was, I don't even remember, technology.
Yeah, diamond faceting they do.
Yeah, that was in 2012 or 2013. That wasn't in 1983.
Right. Yeah, but I thought it might be on the climb, you
probably
know.
Probably was. Yeah, it probably was. All right, so we meet Misha in the Russian, I first put Russian jail, but I think it's a mental hospital.
Yeah, I think so too.
Philip's son, Misha. Mm-hmm. So we learned, this tells us some stuff, Jamie, that there really is a Misha. Because I don't know if we ever talked about it. I don't remember too specifically what we talked about. But remember, we kind of thought, or at least I kind of thought, like, is there really a son? Is Gabriel really?
Yeah.
Or is he just working Philip to make him think his son's in danger in Afghanistan?
Right. Yeah. Okay. But wait, before we go there, we missed a scene. We missed the one where William's in the hospital.
Nope. It's coming up.
Sometimes
I combine scenes, but I don't think I even did it here. But no, I've got that coming up.
No, you did, because I was really careful. I didn't want to interrupt you and like jump and do all that stuff.
All right, well, let's just finish up with Misha intro here. So we find out that he is really alive. There is really a Misha. He did fight in Afghanistan, and yeah. He was like disillusioned with his fight there.
I told you that a gazillion times, and you never wanted
I wondered. I mean, sometimes they fool us, Jamie. And now Misha is so pissed off about that he's stirring up shit in Russia and Afghanistan and criticizing the Soviet government and their support and all that. So he's kind of on the shit list of these guys who want to silence him.
That's right.
All right, now William's in the hospital. And he has Stan and Everhall cheering from him from the upper deck. What do you got with that, Jamie? You seem chomping at the bit to get to this.
Well, I loved it. I loved this scene because I never would have expected for these agents to have that demeanor about them. You know, they said, I think it was Adderhold who said, maybe, or Stan, I don't know, at a time like this, we can all just be human beings.
Yeah, we can do the human thing.
And I loved that. And, you know, when they're saying, what can we do to make you more comfortable? It was amazing to me. And I really hope that that's true. It made me feel patriotic, you know?
Well, Jamie, I have a more probing podcastic interpretation of this.
Okay.
What the hell were they doing? You know, what point was that? I know they're being nice by doing that, but that's not very FBI agent-like to be like that. Were they hoping for some last-minute snippet of information that he blurts out?
Well, I think it was both. I think they were doing their job. I think they would have taken anything that they could get from him, and I think they really wanted information.
But well, Jack Bauer would have been bending his fingers backwards to get, I need that info before you die, you Russian bastard. Right? They were too. I thought they were too nice, I guess is my point.
Well, they were. They were being super duper nice. But, you know, instead of, I don't know, being bad cop, good cop, it's like bad cop. It's good cop, good cop.
Yeah, they were good cop, nicer cop.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
tricky. Can I get you a Coke?
All right, Jamie. So William tells them what to expect. And William uses the word orifices, not ass or anus. I'm
right.
going to bleed out through my orifices.
Right.
And Adderhold offers him a Coke.
Yes.
Sorry, dude. Sorry to hear all that. Hey, you want a Coke? What the hell?
And he starts really laughing super hard. And I guess for him, like from William's perspective, that's what like my mind went to, would be like the absurdity of it. Not just the absurdity, but like, isn't this like an American? Can I get you a Coke?
Either that or Coke's, one of Coke's secret ingredients is Lhasa. Because
right.
Coke is known to dissolve a number of substances.
Yes, that is true.
Including rust and metal and stuff.
Yep.
Organs would be no problem. All right, Jamie. Arcadian Oleg describes his transfer back home. He's going to leave us, Jamie.
Yeah, that was crazy. I did not expect that. I was shocked. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You think he's out of the series, or you think we're going to have a new plot for him back home?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, this is another reason why it could be that you know, they're going to Russia. Because we're going to have Arkady there. We're going to have Oleg there. We're going to have possibly Philip and Elizabeth there. I think Claudia might be there.
Martha?
I'm sorry?
Martha.
Yeah.
Maybe they got a tax cut for filming in Moscow.
I think they might get a tax cut for coming to Georgia and filming and making it look like Russia.
Like the country Georgia?
No. Although that was a really good catch, though.
Or the Jamie Georgia.
The Jamie Georgia.
Jamie and Michelle. Michelle is really in Georgia. She's like a... You could have a 7-iron hit Georgia from where she lives.
Yeah.
Her and Mike.
True.
All right. So Arkady says, dude, you're going to be bored to death. Kind of half funny, half seriously. He's probably
okay,
right.
Okay. So, but before we do that, I was going to tell you something because we didn't. Oh, well, no. I'll wait. Never mind. Go ahead.
All right. And they shake hands and Arkady says, you're a good son. Because he's really going home to his mother, or that's his ploy or his reason. I guess it's probably true. Oleg's going home because his mother misses him.
Yeah, you know, you and I didn't really address it last episode, but it was kind of strange that when he called her, she thought that he was Yevgeny, right? That's a little unstable sounding.
But we saw her last episode, and she looks a lot better.
What do you mean?
She looks like she was sitting up, and she looked a little haggard, but she looked better. She wasn't in bed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that episode, last episode, when Oleg called her, she said, I thought this was Yevgeny.
Well, maybe he's going home to make her see that he's Oleg.
No, well, okay. So she knew who it was, but I'm just saying, like, I think that's why he's going, because her grief has her not thinking clearly. Like, I think what happened is she just thought for a second, oh, you know.
She's losing it a little bit, and he wants to, like, either be with her before she totally wastes away or bring her back out of it.
Yeah, I think he's trying to bring her back. Yeah, that's perfect.
All right, Elizabeth gets home, and we find out from Paige that Alice had her baby. Mm-hmm. And then you think of visiting her, and Paige offers to go first with a gift from Elizabeth. What's this gift, Jamie? Some sort of pipe bomb or something?
Oh, God.
A bunny rabbit pipe bomb.
All right.
It's Elizabeth. Don't forget it's Elizabeth.
Right. Yeah. No, I think it's probably something very, very appropriate because, you know, she's got to keep up the disguise.
A Lhasa pacifier.
I was going to say, God, Mike, I was going to say that I was listening to our buddies, Mike and Michelle, to their American Reds podcast like 2 ago, like episode 11, which I think was Dinner for Seven. And they were talking about Pastor Tim. And do you know they really like him? Like, they like him as much as we hate him.
A lot of people like him.
I don't. And I don't see why anybody would.
All right. Also in this scene, they find out, or Paige asks about Dad. Where's Dad? He's at Est class.
Yeah.
Elizabeth tells him. And she asks, like, kind of, what's that? What's Est class? And then Paige makes her mom dinner.
Yeah.
Paige is being a little homebody there, a little homemaker.
Yeah. She's done that before, though. She's done that, like, this is the second season, I think, that she's done stuff like that.
All right, now at S-Class, Philip is describing his travel agent job, which he's putting it in terms of it being very unfulfilling.
Uh-huh.
And the S teacher tells him to just quit. Don't do things for other people. Do things for yourself.
Yep.
But Philip is really describing his real job, his spy job. Pretty interesting how in the context of the people sitting in the class think, oh, this boring guy's a travel agent. But he's really talking about his spy job.
Yep. That's right. I loved that scene, and I tried to read. Did you stop your screen and try to read the stuff that was on the chalkboards?
No, what was on there?
It was nothing. It was like this weird kind of poetic kind of sounding, or like not really poetic. Like, what do they call those things? Like when people, like, you know, like they have like catchphrases. Or something like, you know,
tropes, memes.
No, not like internet stuff, but like, okay. So like if somebody has a saying, like sayings,
motto,
but yeah, kind of, sort of. Yeah. It was stuff like that. Like, and it was just like instructive, like, you know, do you, or do, you know, da 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 da, whatever, it's, you know, it's all about you kind of stuff. But it was cool because it was so neatly written. I don't know if they wrote it like that to make it seem like, you know, like that because of the scene and the episode, or if they wrote it like that so people could read it easily, like the audience, you know, like us. But it was super neatly written.
I think that's kind of a neurotic, almost like it's supposed to look really neatly written, like the person who wrote it was like regimented and neurotically like obsessive about neatness.
Maybe.
I don't know. I think S is really kind of, it looks interesting on the surface, but I think it's kind of a failed theology, right, or belief.
It is
kind of interesting that Philip can't quit for all the reasons, the same reasons people don't quit their stupid jobs, like your warehouse taxi driver or shoe clerk job. He really can't quit his spy job, but it's really the same. It's really oddly parallel that they're all kind of the same reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought that was a nice parallel with William as well. Because, you know, William was disenchanted and you know, and disillusioned with his job. And, you know, here's Philip, who's been feeling like that for a really long time now. And I thought that was cool and interesting.
All right, so now we see Gabriel meeting with Philip and Elizabeth, and they reflect on William hasn't shown up twice now. That's mm-hmm. bad. So they think they have him. They have him. We got to get out of here. Gabriel says he's been here. We better go. He's been to that place that they're in, so that they better get the hell out of there.
Yeah, that was surprising to me. I don't know why I didn't expect it, but I didn't expect, you know, for that to happen. Oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you, you know me, I'm always willing to watch something over. So I've restarted The Americans, and there was an episode very early into the thing. I want to say it was still in season one, where we heard something that was really weirdly reflective of this season. Like, yet last episode, I think it was, or the one before, when Elizabeth is hanging out with Pastor Tim, and he says, "Oh, you're out on a, you feel like you're out on a branch, and you just handed me the axe,
the saw, yeah,
the saw." Okay, so they say something like that in another episode, exactly like that, like you're on a branch, and you know, and somebody else has the axe or the saw, or something like that. And I was like, "Wow, that's a really weird thing to have occur twice in a series, you know?"
So you saw that somewhere back in season one?
Yeah, season one or season two, but I think it was season one.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody about a different people were saying it.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, another little tidbit that I didn't recall is that Gabriel was their first handler.
Okay. I don't think I ever knew that.
Yeah, see? I don't know that I knew it either. We never saw him, but they referred to him. Like when Claudia came to take over, she said, "Yeah, I'm taking over for Gabriel. He's back in the country," or something like that. And remember when he was introduced to us, but like he was just coming back for Philip and Elizabeth. When they saw him, they were really happy to see him, and it was warm hugs, and they knew him from before. And I think you and I speculated about, like, you know, I guess, you know, that was back in the old country. We didn't know how they knew him from before, but he was their handler just off screen. Like, we didn't know.
"I'm insulted that you've forgotten me."
Right.
"Sorry, Gabriel. Geez. It's right. All right. No problem."
All right, so they go, we see Moscow now. Misha gets out of jail / mental hospital and goes to visit grandpa. I guess maternal grandpa, right?
Yep.
His mom's father.
Yep.
And he gives him some money and passports and IDs left behind by his mother.
So, okay, so when, before we knew that this was his gramps, I thought it's just like some old dude in a house. And when he pulled the thing out of the mattress and there was like all this money, I was like, wow, I mean, this guy is really honorable because he didn't touch any of the money.
It wasn't that much money, though.
It was stacks of it.
No, it wasn't that much money. I don't think it was that much money. And by the way, Jimmy, why do people hide? Every time they hide stuff, they hide it under the mattress. That's the first place you freaking look if you're looking for something.
Exactly.
Remember, what's his name? Oh, hid his little diary under there. Under his mattress, and Nina found it.
Oh, you're talking about, okay. Yeah.
And everybody. I mean, I got crap under my mattress.
That is wild. Seriously?
No, I'm kidding. Okay. At least nothing I know about. Oh, all right, so he gives him the money and the passports, and then along with that, some information that Philip is a travel agent somewhere in America.
Yeah.
So he's going to go visit. Now, I don't know how he's going to do that, but he's going to try to visit Philip, which could be a pretty interesting storyline.
Well, I expect that it'll be amazing. I've kind of been wanting to see Misha, and so this is fantastic, and I love his face. He does look like his dad, and that's just fantastic. But I, you know, I didn't think about it until just now, but I guess maybe he knows that his dad is a spy.
Will he become like a Jon Snow to Elizabeth, like Jon Snow was to Caitlin? Not really the son, not really her son, but a son. I wonder what that's like for a woman to have another son from another woman.
I think it would be lovely. You know, it's just another person to love.
I can see how it would be hard, though, for some people.
I mean, if you're okay, it's like if your husband cheated on you. Yeah, but if he was just before you ever met, then why would it be a problem?
Was that before they met?
Yeah.
Okay. Might have to do some math on that.
Yeah, because I thought about it when you said that. I was like, maybe not. But they've been in America for 20 years, right?
I don't know. I don't have those numbers.
So I think it's 20 years that they've been in America. I think, or maybe a little longer, maybe like 22 years, something like that. But yeah, maybe 20. I don't know.
Where is Misha's mother?
I think she's dead, but I'm not sure. Oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you that Elizabeth, when she and Philip came to America, she was 22. They said it in that episode I watched.
Okay.
Yeah, because we were speculating about it last episode. We were talking about maybe she was 15. I don't know how old she was. She was 22.
Okay. I'd like to know where Misha's mother is, like in jail, or did she run away? I wasn't clear from this. I couldn't figure it out.
So she was captured. She may be in jail. You're right, because she was captured. Like somebody got her.
Misha asked Grandpa about Philip, and he says he had never met him, only had seen him from a distance, and says he was a boy like you, and your mother was very happy with him.
Yeah, and he said something like they seemed in love or something.
You can never believe that crap, though. What's he gonna say? He was a slacker. I wasn't really ever happy. I wasn't very impressed with him.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Misha's plan is to follow the instructions and find him and as a travel agent in America. Pretty tough, I think, to find.
I should think so.
And then he says goodbye to Grandpa, maybe for the last time.
Yeah.
I don't expect a Misha. I see him as a tragic figure. He's not a happy ending figure.
Who, Misha?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, Jimmy. Arcady meets new God, new and improved God, Gad.
What?
I've been calling him something else, Taub or something, but his name is really Wolf.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his name's Wolf. And Webster, who's the other dude with him?
I think that was William Webster.
All right, Jimmy, I have a sound clip from that. You ready?
Yep.
The time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Totally dramatic, man. I wasn't expecting that from those guys.
Oh, my God, Mike. I don't know if you remember this, but when we first started podcasting The Americans, you made a reference to that. You were like, maybe he's a double secret probation spy. And I was like, what the hell? You're so funny. And you're like, that's just a movie line.
And then we find out he was a double secret. What do you mean, just a movie line?
Right? Double secret probation spy?
All right, I'm just kidding.
Dude.
All right, so they imply, these two dudes, Wolf and Webster, that they know all about the Russian bioweapons plan. To Arcady, and Arcady tries to dodge it, and that, hey, my role is just a cultural attaché, but they boot him, Jamie. They're sending you back to Yuri Andropov, sending him home. It's got 24 hours?
Yeah, 48 hours. I was upset by that.
Yeah, no more Arcady.
Yeah, I was really upset by that. I like Arcady. I think everybody likes Arcady. I don't know how much he had to do with any of that stuff because you never see him, you know, conspiring for anything evil. He just like he put the mail robot, in the FBI office. But I don't know, you know, that anything else, that he's done anything particularly bad.
Yeah, and that seems pretty fair play to stick a bug in a mail robot. It's like not underhanded or dirty.
Right. You're just trying to, you know, steal information, you know, which he's there to do. But, I mean, the other stuff, I don't think he was responsible for that stuff. And it just made me sad. It feels unfair. And he looked so disappointed and, you know, just, I don't know. I didn't like it.
So Seppenwall, in his article, Jamie, brought in a real-time update back in 1983-84. Because they say we're sending you back to Yuri Andropov. He was the Russian president or premier. He dies 2 weeks later in real time in the 83 time frame. And he's replaced by Chernenko, guy named Chernenko in February of 1984. So, and if you remember, Brezhnev died and Andropov replaced him not too long ago. So they had like a quick, they had a two or three guy, quick dying succession series of guys in a row there.
Yep, that's exactly right.
So that's interesting for what's going to come up with a new Soviet leader in 2 weeks, essentially. Mm-hmm. All right, so they're mad. You married my officer's secretary. That's like the most, I mean, that's the second time we heard that from, Gad was mad about that. Now Wolf's mad about that. You married my dude's secretary, you bastard.
And then you killed him. I love what he said. I love what that dude said. That what's his name? That
Wolf.
Wolf. Do you remember what he said? I love that. He's like, that's just about the worst thing I've ever heard. The way he delivered that line was so good.
Yeah, that's what made me think of Dean Wormer. You guys have been on double secret probation. Like, the very worst thing you could do is like put fizzies in the girl's toilet. You married my officer's secretary.
Yep.
And then killed Gad, like that's second to it. And then you killed him. Get out in 48 hours, bitch. Throw him out of the country. All right. At the hospital, William parlays a little bit more with Adderholt and Stan. Jamie, I think William is a hero here. He does kill off all the future connections that they could pursue. He's going to be dead in really short time because he's used the super-duper form of Lhasa.
Right.
He doesn't have to tell them shit. He knows he's going to be dead. He can't be bribed or tortured. Everything inside him is going to die with him.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to know. I think William, not William, I think Philip is going to know that he dies in a short time. Because I think Stan's going to share that. Either with Matthew, and that's going to go through Paige and get to the Jennings, or it's going to be right from Stan to Philip.
Yeah, it may end up being from Stan to Philip. Yeah, I think that's probably the way it happens. But I don't know if it'll matter.
Well, they won't have to worry about running. Anyway, they may. I mean, there's some speculation, and of course the Reddit world pops up with, well, we never saw William die. We never heard that heart monitor stop beeping.
No, we didn't see him die. I don't think he's dead yet.
Well, okay, that's part of the speculation in this episode. But I think he's dead.
I don't. I think that when we come back next season, this show that moves as slow as molasses, it's probably going to open with, you know, Adderholt and, well, maybe not. Maybe they'll be back at the hospital because I know Stan went home. But I don't think he's dead yet.
Oh,
I think he's going to be alive.
I mean, he has a pretty cool few more lines here, but I thought that heart monitor went on and on and on a little too long. It was very Martha-ish. Martha and Tim-ish. But he does. At least this last part's pretty interesting. Adderholt talks to him and says, "Did you like what you did?" And William says, "I was special. I was a star in my very own movie." Jamie, do you think they have psychological teams in Russia who match people for the jobs they want them to do?
Oh, I think, yeah, I think there's a lot of science that goes into that because, so.
Like they knew William, like they knew Philip and Elizabeth were going to be coupled up in a family. So they probably knew that those personalities types would be likely to get along together.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think there's a lot that goes into it. In fact, there's some of those episodes that I was rewatching. What's his name? Remember that dude that Elizabeth used to report to, and they killed him. And I can't think of his name. It starts with an S. And then after he died, Elizabeth was determined to get revenge on the guy who murdered him. But anyway, that dude, Colonel somebody or whatever. He was talking to Elizabeth in this episode, the episode where he died, and she was having these flashbacks to back when she was younger. And at one point she was sitting on a bench with him and he said, "Do you know why they chose you for this assignment?" And she said, "No, why?" He said, "Because of your fear." And she looked at him like, I'm not scared of anything, dude. What are you talking about? And he said, not that kind of fear. The kind of fear that you have is how afraid you are to fail. And that's why they chose you for this assignment. So I think that they really do a lot of matching.
I like that. I like that they vocalize this, that they are looking for people that match the jobs they want them to do and not just hope that it works out.
Yeah, I agree.
William actually talks about, in this last few words here with Stan and Adderhall, he talks about the absence of closeness in his life. And Stan says something about, yeah, but you're still committed. And William says, it's the only thing I had left. So he committed to it. He stuck with it because it was the only thing he had.
Right.
And then the thing kept beeping. I thought he was going to, like, die there. Okay. And then he died. But no, it didn't. He didn't die.
So this is the one where he says, I thought he said hollow, but I don't think that's what he said. I think he said that the loneliness and the lack of people makes you dry inside. I was thinking he said hollow inside. But that's what, like, it's in that scene when he's talking about being so lonely.
Yeah, that and the Lhasa makes you empty inside.
God, you're so gross.
Oh, it did. Those are the two physical and philosophical manifestations of it. All right, Gabriel and the Jennings talk now, Jamie. Gabriel suggests getting out. It's hard to know when it's too late. If William asks the FBI, if William talks to the FBI, the risks will never stop. You two should consider going home. This job was never meant to be forever. You're in immediate danger with William under arrest.
That was wild to me. Like, I never thought about that. You know, like, and actually, I think it was this season that you and I kind of touched on that, where we were trying to decide, like, what happens to them when they're done being spies, you know? And we were like, oh, I don't know if they retire to America or they go back to Russia or what happens. But, there's a time when you retire. It was shocking to me, though, that Gabriel said that, because he's freaking forever old. And, you know, he's saying, you know, it wasn't meant to be like that.
I'm still not very happy with this episode, Jamie, as I'm watching it at this point. But the next scene I do not want to see at all. Pastor Tim and Alice and Paige and the baby all kumbaya-ing it out together.
Yeah, I hated that stupid scene. Ugh.
I could not stand. I mean, I don't care about them. I don't. And then they made up. They reproduced.
Oh God.
And multiplied.
Oh my God. I can't believe you just said that.
So we get some quick cuts. We see that, and then we cut to Philip and Elizabeth in their car thinking, and we cut to they're doing something in the car. Leonard Cohen music underneath it all. We cut to Arcady getting drunk and looking longingly at the Lenin bust or Stalin bust?
I think that was Stalin.
I think it was Lenin.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, he looked like the.
No, you're right.
All right, Oleg and Tatiana now talk. She finds out about Arcady's exit. Kind of. I don't know. He's pretty cold about this way he tells her.
Okay, wait. So you're talking about she's finding out about Oleg's.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oleg's exit.
Okay.
He's transferring. She's kind of stressed and sad looking. Yeah. And she calls him another good son. You're a good son. She repeats that.
Yep.
But I guess we learned along this way, too, that she's going to run things in the presidentura because Arcady's leaving.
Mm-hmm. You know, I thought the same thing that you thought, that, you know, the way he told her was a little clinical. But he said, I didn't want to tell you this way. I think he had to because of timing and things like that. But, you know, it made me feel sad, too. And, she was definitely not happy about it.
Yeah, she looked really sad.
Mm-hmm.
All right, William struggles to die some more. Struggles some more to die. Trying to die. Stan and Adderhall are waiting. He coughs up something liquefied through his mouth orifice. At least we don't have to watch any of the other side of him.
Oh, God.
And William says, I always wanted more information, samples, and they wanted me married. I like this last gasp statements from William. He was just trying to work, and they wanted me to be married and happy. And then he's sorry about the way he spent his life. No kids. And then he's kind of ominously, I thought it was a little ominous, the way he says, she's pretty and he's lucky. Of course, that's Elizabeth, pretty, and Philip, lucky.
Yeah.
Now, Stan, this can't register with Stan, right? Because that could be anybody. He's not going to go, oh, that's Elizabeth he's talking
about. No, he would not think that. But you saw him perk up like he's talking about that. They knew what he was talking about. And okay.
No, you got to clarify that. What do you mean they knew what he's talking about?
Like, not exactly. Like, not it's Philip and Elizabeth, but they know he was talking about some people undercover. Because he said, like, he could have been with his wife here or his family here for, like, as long as he's been there. And then he said, like, them, the American dream, never suspect them. She's pretty. He's lucky. And all that stuff. And then when he says that, like when he's saying the thing about she's pretty, he's lucky, Stan like perks up, like, and he and Adderholt exchange a glance like, who is he talking about?
Right. He's making a real world reflection of real people, but I don't think they have any idea who the people are.
No, they don't. But I'm saying, like, you know, like they seemed suspicious. Like, they knew he was talking about somebody maybe he shouldn't have been talking about.
Yeah, but who? I mean, I don't think it revealed anything.
No, he didn't.
That's what I said. It was kind of ominous, but thinking back on it, it didn't really, he didn't snitch on anything. It just kind of went like, and I think you're right, by the way, that he's about to tell us somebody that we really should know more about, but they don't know who it is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I really just like, mostly, I like the way he lamented the way he spent his life. Like, no kids. I always wanted more. And that's such a statement on life, even for us, right? Even for us normal people watching the show. We get a chance to see a guy looking back on his life.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Pretty sad, too. Yeah. So sad the way he had to live with that.
He gave up. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
For his last, I was going to say last final moments, you think he might last longer, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so awful because he gave up everything, you know? He gave up everything for a sad, empty life.
And many of us do the same.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, the Brown Impala comes home and Philip and Elizabeth are in it. Henry's watching the Super Bowl, Jamie.
Yeah, thanks for watching it with me, Mom and Dad.
By the way, that Super Bowl sucked. Washington was in that Super Bowl, their home team, Washington, D.C. home team. They got beat by the Oakland Raiders 38-9.
Yeah, what did he say? What did he say when they asked him what we did? He's like, we got killed or something. What was it? We sucked?
Both. Something close to both, yeah. By the way, Jamie, that Super Bowl was the Super Bowl of the Apple 1984 commercial.
Really?
Yeah. Where the chick runs up in 1984 Orwell style and throws the hammer through the screen and breaks the mold of the leader and the followers.
Huh.
Think different.
That's cool.
All right, over at the Beeman's house, Paige and Matthew are, or maybe they're over at the Jennings, wherever. They're at the other house watching the same Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Jamie, what do you think of Matthew's Prince Valiant haircut?
No. You know what, though? He was cute when, like, back in the day, like, back in the first season. He was, like, a little bit younger and pretty skinny, and he had the same freaking haircut, but he looked really cute.
Was it the same actor?
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew tells Paige, my dad cheated on my mom.
Yeah.
And Paige has a pretty deep thought here. She says, in a way, it's good to see them as people. They have their faults. They're just people. Shit happens.
Yeah, I couldn't believe she said shit. And I was really, you know, it wasn't surprising to me But I thought it was very fitting and appropriate that she had that view, because that's what happened to her. She has had her parents exposed to her as people, flawed people.
Paige also tells Matthew, I used to think my dad was having an affair at work, but my mom told me she believed he loved her, and don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a kiss, Jamie, more serious kiss than last episode.
Yeah, I was starting to get worried. You might have been right.
About what?
You said something last podcast about, you know, them having sex or something.
They are connecting up, man. They're going to be... That's why Philip is so mad.
Nah.
All right. Another argument with you, Jamie. Okay, Philip and Elizabeth discuss leaving. Philip says, you want to pack? I think they're still in the car. And Elizabeth says, maybe, I don't know. And Philip says, you trying to picture them there? And Elizabeth says, yeah, so trying to picture the kids in Russia.
Yeah.
Pretty creepy.
It's, well, I don't know about creepy, but it's, you know, it's got to be crazy for them. Like, really, really, really weird. You know, because they have to think about, like, their children, and especially Henry. Henry has no freaking clue. So their children, you know, don't know anything about the place where they spent the majority of their lives, the close majority of their lives, where their hearts are, where their culture is, where their history and their families and, you know, all of this stuff. Their kids have never been there.
Well, I think Philip and Elizabeth now have spent the majority of their lives in America.
Well, almost. That's what I was saying.
They came when they were 18 or 22 and they're in their 40s. Maybe not quite in their 40s yet.
Yeah, well, I think they've been here like 20 years. And so it's very close.
Well, most of their adult lives then.
Yes, you're right about that.
All right, now here's where, so the Reddit forums and the speculation, the, you know, the tin hat theories come out. So Stan comes home, Philip goes over there, and Stan's joking around. He's all chipper and happy. Now remember, he's just coming from William being like morose and on his last deathbed. So Jamie, some forums speculate that Stan is acting friendly because William spilled the beans. And is playing up that he's cheerful when he really should not be this cheerful on the heels of coming home from William.
Well, okay. So I thought that too. I thought maybe he knows something. But I don't think so. Because he was just so, like, happy and, like, giddy, you know, almost. And I loved what he said. It was just so sweet, you know, when he said the thing about, you know, you're paying for the wedding, you know, I'll show up at the barbecue or something, or we can have it in my backyard, he said. I loved that.
But if he was acting, that's exactly how he would have acted.
You think?
Yeah, if he was fake, trying to fake William out, Philip out, that's exactly how he would do it.
Nah, I don't think so. I think that he might have pretended like all this, you know, like friendly, like, or normal. But I don't think that he, like, think about it. If he came home and he knew, like, what was going on with Philip, and, like, then he would not have been all like, oh, you know, telling him new information about Paige and Matthew. He probably would have kept that information to himself, you know, in order to maybe try to find a way to get a leg up on Philip, because, you know, the more information you have, the better position you're in.
Right.
So, yeah.
I believe it, too. I mean, I believe what you're saying is true, too. Although he does end with, like, a racquetball on Tuesday. I mean, I believe that he's not, you know, William did not tell him anything, because it would have been a total audience cheat. We would have missed out, because that when that does happen, that's going to be the Hank sitting on the toilet reading Leaves of Grass, right? It's going to be a total, like, holy shit. It's not going to happen off screen.
Yeah, I don't think so either. That reminds me of a line in a show. This character on Downton Abbey says about stuff like that. She says, I hate Greek drama where all the action happens off stage.
Yeah. He's just goofy. He's had the pressure taken off of him for the first time in like 3 days. He's probably just happy to be home.
Yeah, I think so. And he's just like, I mean, so, okay, so like if it's your friend and he really thinks of Philip as his best friend. So it's your best friend, your next door neighbor, and you walk into your house and you see your two children kind of, you know, it's going to be funny and sweet and, you know, make you feel hopeful about the future. And yeah, I mean, I think it's nice.
Philip's not so happy, though. He says the let's go, sweetie, pretty abruptly to Paige and drags her out of there.
Yeah.
He literally drags her back across the street away from the Beamans and says, I don't want you to see him. You have no idea what's going on. She tries to, you know, Dad, what are you doing? You have no idea. It's really kind of abrupt with her.
Yeah, it was wild. It was wild. I mean, like, I didn't expect that at all.
And it was just the end. Super low energy. I thought it was a low energy finale.
Yeah. It was a strange ending. When we saw them, like, walking across the street, like, into the house, and he's all like, you have no idea. I was like, what the heck? What is he doing? I don't know what he meant. I mean, unless he means, like, you know, maybe they're on to us. We've got to skip town. I don't know.
Yeah, so what do you think is next, Jamie? I think Philip and Stan, Stan will undoubtedly talk about William giving nothing up, because I think William did give nothing up.
Okay, so.
And so they won't have to leave. They won't have to leave due to that. I mean, there's plenty of other reasons they might have to leave. Martha, Tim.
Okay, so. I don't know, but one thing that I will say is that I thought it was so soap opera-ish, like really weak in terms of the plot, that they have Misha coming here and the Jennings family possibly crossing paths, you know, going over to Russia. I thought that was weak.
Yeah, we have there's no reason to worry about Misha because we have nothing vested in him. I have nothing vested. I don't care what happens to him. His plane crashes on his way over here. I don't care. I mean, but Philip and Elizabeth totally thinking, wow, I hope they don't leave, you know. I don't think they're going to leave. They can't leave.
I don't know. If they do, it makes sense that all these people are in Russia, you know? I mean, you've got more of the cast in Russia now than you have in America. Once you add Philip and Elizabeth, you've got it totally flipped.
No, but there's no threat in Russia. They're in their home stadium.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. I don't know.
They gotta stay. They gotta stay.
Maybe.
Maybe at the very end they'll go back, but I don't think they go back with two seasons to go.
But I don't know why everybody's going to be. Look, let me tell you something. If they take Oleg and put him back in Russia and we don't see him, I'm really going to be mad.
Well, we may still see him.
We better still see him.
Arkady, I'm not so sure about. He may end up with the turpentine jar guy somewhere.
He likes
to drink.
he doesn't drink pickle juice like that dude.
All right, so there are two more seasons, though, Jamie. Season 5, 13 episodes. Season 6, the final season, 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So, Jamie...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I wonder, you know, like, what they're doing when they're breaking the story now. Like, you know, if they have the broad strokes already figured out or, you know, or if it's going to take them a lot of time. I don't know.
It's time to say goodbye from Season 4 from West Coast Project.
Okay, so... before we go, I got to tell you what my son did.
To the right, podcast world?
Yeah.
All
so,
right.
So I asked him for a hug. This was right before we got on, right before we got on Skype. And so, I asked him for a hug and he walked up to me and then passed me right by, like faked me out and then literally walked up to the computer and hugged it and said, I love you, Mike.
Aw. I would think that kid would hate me because you're always making him get off the games and the computer so you can do the podcast without interruption.
Yeah, well, you know, they forget.
Oh, well, give them a hug back for me.
I will.
That's sweet. That makes me feel good. All right, Jamie, so goodbye from season 4 from West Coast Project, The Americans. How do people tweet you in the off-season?
I'm at WordGirly.
And I'm at Scathing Tweets. We got something. What's our other podcast, Jamie?
Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot, right.
And wait, there's another one. Oh, Better Call Saul, but it's on hiatus.
And BoJack Horseman? That got renewed, too.
Well, I keep telling you, I'll do it with you.
We got to finish up Making a Murderer, and there's a million projects to do in no time.
Yeah, we do need to finish up Making a Murderer. We do. And I should tell you, but I'm not going to tell you. I have a secret, but I'll tell you, like, later.
All right, Jamie.
Okay, wait. I'll tell you now. I'm going to start a blog called Things I Wish I'd Said, and it's going to be stuff that I think about, like, after we do our podcast, because I always have thoughts about the show. I was especially about The Americans and Better Call Saul. I have thoughts that I wish I had said or thought of, at least, while we're doing the cast, but I don't. And then later I wish I could say it, but I can't.
All right, what have you thought of now on this one? Take a deep breath and think. thought of one. We almost got on back online last week because you were going to say something about Gabriel or something that you forgot to say.
Yeah, no, I was going to say something about Tatiana. And I was really so disappointed because you were giving me a hard time for jumping ahead. And then somehow we missed it and we didn't get to say it. But what I was going to say is, like, William was so upset and he had such a conscience about not wanting to be the person who's responsible for letting this disease loose and killing a bunch of people, right? But then later in the episode, Tatiana says very flippantly and jokingly to Oleg that she's going to Kenya, but she hopes that she doesn't kill half the population of the Eastern Seaboard first. And it was just such a contrast because she was so lighthearted about it. And she's the person responsible for this. And then there's William on the other side, who's the mule, basically, who's like so upset about it.
Why do you think she's the person responsible?
Because she's Directorate 12 or S or whatever the thing is. And she's the person who arranged for that whole thing to happen. Like, this was her thing. Remember in the beginning of I want to say it was like the first episode of this season, she was in that little closet, like making a phone call or whatever. And Arcady was trying to get in and she's like, you can't come in. And he's like, what the heck? I'm the resident. And she's like, dude, you can't come in. Like, she had authority that he didn't realize she had. Well, that was her trying to get this whole thing set up.
Well, and then she ends up running the show at the end.
Yep. And she got that promotion to go to Kenya because of this operation that she did.
I think it's a better opportunity for her to run the resident tour in America, though, than in Kenya.
Right. Yeah, that's true. It is a better opportunity. But, you know, while Arcady was here, it wasn't a job she could have.
And they do kind of leave us with the interpretation or the impression that it's by the way, I was using frickin' paradox the wrong way in an episode or two ago.
I was
mad about that. Like, ooh, another paradox. It wasn't a paradox. It was something else. I feel like an idiot when I do that.
I do, too, when I do stuff like that, because it's there, like, forever, you know?
But she says it's a temporary position in the residentura in Washington.
Right.
So maybe she will end up in Nairobi.
I don't think she's going to Kenya. I really don't. I mean, what are they going to do?
Maybe she'll go to Moscow and work with Oleg.
She might request, because, she seems a little broken up.
That Oleg's a handsome devil, though. He'll have a new girl back in Moscow.
Did you see how freaking tall that dude is? He was like a foot and a half taller than Tatiana. But we know he's tall because he's a little bit taller than Stan, and Stan is like 6'4". Like the actor, like Noah Emmerich. Is like 6'4". I think Costa Ronan is like 6'5" or above.
All right, Jamie. I'm going to try to say goodbye from season 4 for the fourth time.
All right, Mike.
See you next year.
All right. Bye.